I love typing.
Not mess with my Google Docs, Meeksy. Supergirl Radio is going live every night of the week. How do you like it? Is becoming a human burrito a plus or a minus? I don't know. It does seem snug.
I mean, they say you are what you eat.
Kira.
I love that.
So I do a podcast called Supergirl Radio, and one of our segments is Lena Luthor, boardroom or ballroom.
Because really? She looks like a boss in this coat.
Nasty Luther, like a different Luther? It's not just Lena being mean?
No. Helen Slater here. It's so fun to know that you're hosting a podcast called Supergirl Radio.
Yes! Welcome to Supergirl Radio, your source for all things related to the character of Kara Zor-El and the Lab Cats. Specifically about Bunsen, who has now decided to join us right out the gate.
Bunsen's here. he is interested in Commandy. Yes, you are very interested in him, and he wants to know all about it, and that's why he's here. He said he wants to start right at the top this time. Usually he pops in sort of a little bit late, and he always feels like he's missing stuff.
He's missing
it. To be honest. Yeah, this time. For Commandy, he's here.
Well, I think Bunsen would actually be very interested in Commandy because he has a friend who's like a Tiger Man.
That's a Tiger Man, Bunsen.
So we will talk about his tiger friend when we get into the story. But it's good to see Bunsen. So Supergirl Radio is your source for all things related to the character of Kara Zor-El. My name is Rebecca Johnson.
I'm Morgan Glennon. I'm here with Bunsen.
Morgan Glennon and Bunsen. And we are live and wired on the DC TV podcast YouTube channel and the Supergirl Radio Facebook page to discuss and review the Tomorrowverse animated DC showcase, Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth. The problem with Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth, is that you cannot watch it online, to our knowledge. The only way I knew to find this was that it was on Justice Society World War II Blu-ray, where it appears as a special feature. So I actually bought the Blu-ray, I watched it, and since people may have trouble finding this online and are unable to watch it, I brought some screenshots with me, and we can go over the story and talk about we'll recap it and talk about the Tomorrowverse takeaways from it. So if you could not find it like Morgan, don't worry. We've got you covered. We've got the story. We can tell you what happens. And so I think it will be of interest. And I'll be curious to hear your thoughts, Morgan, to see what you think about how it might connect to the overall picture. And if you can, there's a mystery in this one.
Ooh.
That I'll be curious if you pick up on it before we get to the reveal of it. I'll be curious to see.
Mysterious.
Yeah. So it's kind of exciting. Okay. But before we get into the discussion about Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth, we need to get to
the news.
On June 4th, DC is bringing the action and excitement of the hit animated series My Adventures with Superman to comic book fans in a new series. That's pretty cool. Written by series producer Josie Campbell and drawn by artist Pablo M. Collar, My Adventures with Superman picks up from the explosive end of season one, serving as a bridge to the highly anticipated season two. In this new comic book series, Clark Kent is a bit down and out, spending Christmas alone in Metropolis. But when he gets a tip about a monster in the sewers, Superman, Lois Lane, and Jimmy Olsen spring into action to investigate this mystery. What is this monster? What is this monster that can absorb anything it touches? And why is it here in Metropolis? It's a story that the TV series writers talked about in the writer's room, but didn't have the space for in season one. It promises romance, comedy, superpowers, and Jimmy Olsen talking a lot about how he's super rich now. Flamebird.
No, I wasn't ready.
My Adventures with Superman number one is available for pre-order at participating comic book shops Friday, March 15th, and arrives at participating stores and e-tailers Tuesday, June 4th. So that's fun.
That's very exciting. I don't know. Should we cover the comic book
series? I think perhaps we should. Listen, the thing is that it's a bridge to season two. And so we're going to have read it to, like, you know, be up and ready and prepared for season two. So I think we have to.
Once I read that they were going to have Jimmy Olsen talking about how he's super rich now, I was like, I'm in.
Sold.
Yeah.
Sold. Because we had a lot of questions about their deal that they struck with him. So
that sounds exciting. So I'll have to get used to hitting the flame bird button a lot more often. Get back into the into the swing of that. But yeah, it looks like we can anticipate. Actually, March 15th is coming up. That's this Friday.
That's this Friday. So
we need to get to the comic book shops to pick
that. Oh, my good. Wait, I think it's available on June 4th. I think you can just pre-order.
Oh, it's just pre-ordering.
You can pre-order starting this Friday.
Yes. No,
but we've got a little bit of time.
That was right up at the top of the news section, and I completely forgot about that date and was only looking at March 15th. So March 15th, pre-ordering June 4th. When it's officially coming out. So unfortunately we've got a couple of months, so we can't get to it until then, but know that My Adventures with Superman number one, the comic book version, is on its way. So we will definitely be talking about that. And the other news item that we had to discuss was that Melissa Benoist posted to Instagram that she, quote, saw an old friend last night. Morgan, this is like an old friend of yours as well.
Interesting. I think I visited that old friend, actually.
viewers of Supergirl Radio, or listeners, if you listen on the audio version of the podcast, would know that we actually discussed that on one of these episodes, that Morgan actually took a picture with.
I did.
That, Supergirl. She may be looking for that now, but
I don't think I'll be able to find it.
But we did cover that Morgan got her picture with that exact same Supergirl. And
I did.
I thought it was of note that Jesse Rath commented on the Instagram post and said, where is this Hot Topic? So he was pretty funny about replying to this. So I really enjoyed this picture. I'm guessing, is this the WB store on the WB lot?
Yes, it is. It's like on the it's on the lot. So like if you go to the WB and you take like the studio tour,
right?
This is you end up here, I believe, at the end of the tour, and it's like this big WB store that's really really pretty cool.
Yeah, so Warner Brothers has a studio tour out in Burbank, maybe Los Angeles, Burbank area. Yep. And so we think this is probably where this is. So not Hot Topic, but probably the Warner Brothers studio tour. So that was
how dare they say it was Hot Topic. I found it.
Yes.
Melissa and I, you can see, we're twinning. we're the same in so many ways. We are the same.
So yeah, that is that same Supergirl. So like Melissa Benoist, you too.
The funny thing is like this is from 2019, so that should give you an idea of how long that has been up there. So that seems like more of a permanent fixture. It's just she's still there.
I mean, Supergirl theoretically would live forever, I guess. So
they
better
keep that up.
she might be there a long time.
I want to get my picture with it every time I go.
Yeah, so we'll have to maybe try to see her again somewhere. Yeah, Aaron in the chat says, yeah, I went there too. And Mark says, yeah, exit through the gift shop. You have to, that's where you have to send people at the end of a tour.
That's where they get you.
Yeah, so you have to go to the gift shop.
It looks like Aaron was also there in 2019. Aaron, we just missed each other.
If you have a pic, send it to us. We'd love to see it. Just to compare.
What if we just had a compilation of all of our listeners who've ever visited the Supergirl suit? We put like a smooth jazz song in the background, and just like a slideshow, like those ones that the iPhone makes for you.
I would love that. We should all aim to get that picture. That is amazing. Well, that is going to do it to cover our news section here. So let's get right into talking about Commandy, the last boy on Earth, because this is actually quite a lot that we have to to tackle, because I'm basically going to be treating this like a character spotlight. So if you're familiar with Supergirl Radio character spotlights, this is how this is kind of going to hopefully go. Commandy, the last boy on Earth, had an IMDb description over there. So it reads, quote, Commandy and his friends, Prince Tufton of the Tiger Kingdom and humanoid mutant Ben Boxer, are kidnapped by a guerrilla cult dedicated to finding the reincarnation of their god, the Mighty One, unquote. So right away, Morgan, I feel like this should grab your attention that there are guerrilla cults in this. So,
okay. Yeah, no, I'm there. I'm following guerrilla cult.
So we're just going to do a recap of this story, and we're going to touch on the guerrilla cults and why they are looking for this legendary figure called the Mighty One. So the short starts out with Commandy, which is pronounced Commandy, and we'll talk about that a little later, the significance of that. But Commandy's in a paddle boat riding the waves through what looks like to be a destroyed and flooded New York City. And recognize the location by the Statue of Liberty that is there depicted in the short. We see a shot of the Statue of Liberty. So that kind of puts us in the New York City location. But I'm unsure of the time period or the what Earth this is in the multiverse. It could be a different time than the regular timeline of the Tomorrowverse, or it could be on a different Earth. Not really sure. And this short actually reminds me a lot of the Planet of the Apes. So if you're familiar with that, you know, cinematic universe now, that is the Planet of the Apes. That connection is not a coincidence. It's very intentional. And we will also get to that later, because we're going to talk a little bit about some of the context from the comics. So Planet of the Apes very much inspired Commandy, the last boy on Earth. So if it feels like a Planet of the Apes situation, it's meant to feel like that. So Commandy gets to where he is going. He gets out of the boat and he walks into what looks like might have been an old subway station. And there he finds his old friend Tufton, who is one of the Tiger Men. So he talks like a human, but he looks like a tiger. He looks like a big...
Huh.
So Tufton has been imprisoned by some talking rodent like people. So all these animals can talk. They're kind of humanoid like, but they have.
They're creepy.
Yeah. The rodents are pretty creepy, and they don't have any other names other than rodent.
Is one of the rodents like a fighter jet pilot, or does he just, or is he like just one of like those scene kids who wants to pretend that he's like back in the olden days, because he's got those like little aviator glasses on his head.
Yeah. So maybe their day job, they fly planes. I don't know. Here in this story, they don't fly planes. But maybe they're just this is something they found in terms of clothing and they put it on. I'm not really sure. But talking rodents is the important part here. They are the bad guys here at the beginning of the story. But they will follow our main characters along as we go. And so Tufton, the Tiger Man, is imprisoned, and Commandy tries to break him out because he is his friend. And so he breaks him out of jail, and then he runs away from the rodent people, and they follow him, and they all of them, Commandy, Tufton, and these rodent people, they get captured. They they all get taken by this group of apes. And these apes are riding horses. They have armor on. They talk. They are also kind of humanoid in that way. So the escape plan that Commandy went in with to get Tufton out of his prison cell has been foiled. Everyone is captured. So not a great escape plan. They went from one prison to another one. So they've been captured by this group of apes. Now, while they are in custody of the apes, they encounter Commandy's friend, Ben Boxer. Now, he's another kind of human-looking person, but he will tell us later that he's not quite human. He was actually supposed to be the escape plan for Commandy and Tufton, but he got captured, so he was of no use. So he was he was going to help them out, but then he got captured. So,
Not a very good plan B.
Not a good plan B. And Tufton, the Tiger Man, is really confused because he sees these two, Commandy and Ben Boxer, and they both look human. And he's really confused as to why Ben says that he's not exactly a man. So that will be something that we learn about him later. And we will also, at this point, learn about Commandy's backstory. Because while they're
always flashing back.
So while they are captured and waiting to know what their fate is, Commandy tries to explain to Tufton about what has happened with humans. So Commandy reveals to us that New York City used to be filled with humans, and his grandfather worked for a secret organization. Doesn't really say what they did, but just a secret organization.
It's so secret, not even they know.
Commandy doesn't even know. this secret organization was in New York City when this thing they call the Great Disaster. So when the Great Disaster struck, causing mountains to fall and seas to boil, Commandy's grandfather sealed them in a protected chamber called Command D, which is how Commandy got his name.
Oh. I love it.
It feels slightly lazy, but I kind of like that it's like a connection to his past. Although I do wonder, did he have a human name before that? Was he always called Commandy?
Yeah. Was he very young when this happened and he doesn't remember his human name? Like, would you just see a sign and be like, that is my name now?
I am not sure, because the short does not go into like how long they were there, when this all happened, what it really looked like. But he did say that he was in this protected chamber called Command D with his grandfather. And he and his grandfather were the last survivors of this great disaster that happened to them.
Maybe his grandfather had like a really bad memory, and Command D was like, what's my name, Grandpa? And Grandpa was like, Commandy.
I am almost certain that's how that happened.
Grandpa was just like, I love lamp. Just naming things in the room.
That would make sense to me. But you would think that when I think about grandfathers and small children, I think of like older people. But his grandfather did not appear to be like old. His grandfather looked like a guy who could be his father. So I was very confused.
Yeah, grandpa yeah. Spry.
So I was confused about the age of his grandfather, but he must have been in that Command D place for a long time. Commandy does tell us that he and his grandfather, while they were in this protected chamber, they had supplies, which is good. They had rations of food and everything until, you know, they tried to make it last as long as they could. They had info reels, so they kind of knew what was going on. And they had books, including a comic book Easter egg of Etrigan the Demon, who is a DC character who, like Commandy, was also created by Jack Kirby. So it was a nice little Easter egg they put in this DC showcase short. But one day, sadly, Commandy's grandfather died.
He died of old age while looking like Don Draper from Mad Men. I don't get it. He's just like, oh, sorry.
Not really sure how he died, but one day he just died.
One day he just kind of kicked it.
And it's very sad because Commandy, that was his only companion. That was his only other person. So Commandy is alone now. And his grandfather's final words to him were, quote, "You are the last boy on Earth, Commandy. For the sake of humanity, you must survive," unquote.
It feels like it's putting a lot on Commandy. I gotta be honest.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure to be the last of your kind. So we'll see what happens. Well, Commandy. So we're finished with the backstory. We've gotten the origin story.
Okay, now we're back. We're back to the present.
We're
animal people.
Animal people being captured by the talking apes. So Commandy, our main character, Tufton, our Tiger Man, Ben, the guy who says he's not exactly a man, and the rodent guys, the rodent pilot guys, they have been taken to what they call an ape cult. So a lot of cultish things here, apes and robes. with hoods, all wearing the same thing in kind of a scary stone place. Very cultish. So a little scary. But this cult doesn't have really nefarious needs. It's actually kind of a good thing that they are doing, I think. So we'll see. Tufton, though, the Tiger Man, thinks that they're going to be sacrificed. So he's a little skeptical of the ape cult. And he actually tells us, the audience, that many such of these cults have sprung up since the fall. I assume meaning the great disaster that they have all experienced. And the reason that they have been brought in front of this ape cult is that Gulgan, who is the lead guy of the cult, he's actually called the Keeper of the Ancient Days. He tells Commandy, Tufton, Ben, and the rodents that they are candidates.
All of them are candidates? That makes it feel like Commandy's not as special.
He is one of the candidates. But candidates for what, you might be asking? Well, they are looking for this guy they call the Mighty One. And so Gulgan, the Keeper of the Ancient Days, tells them this story. He tells them a tale of a, quote, blessed being who came from the skies, unquote. They call him the Mighty One because he used his great powers to save the earth from total destruction. The Mighty One quenched the fire and mended its cracks. But the effort was too great and he fell, vowing to return one day. It has been ages since then, and the ape cult thinks that maybe the Mighty One, we haven't seen him in a while, but maybe he has returned in a new guise, unknown even to himself. Okay. So the candidates that they have gathered are supposed to be doing these trials to see who is the Mighty One. Now, in the meantime, while they're with the ape cult, we also get to meet another candidate who has come from outside this group named Zuma. So Zuma is also one of the candidates who is going to go through these trials to see if one of them is the Mighty One. So we're going to be going through three trials because it's a comic book story. So you got to have,
of course,
a rule of three.
Got to have three. You always have to have three. How many trials? Three.
Got to have one where they completely kind of botch it. And then they got to have one that's maybe a little dangerous. And then the third one's like, hey, you nailed it. It's great.
You got it. I also like that they're like, you know, it could be Commandy, the last boy on earth. It could be Ben, who looks like the last boy on earth, but isn't the last boy on earth. It could be Tufton, this cool lion or this cool tiger.
Yeah.
Or it could be these rodent guys. Who knows? Who's to say?
They're all the same. It's in quality.
All right. I mean, feels like there's like three of those rodent guys. Like, what about them feels special? But listen, I'm not in the ape cult, right? Like, I didn't join all the way up. I didn't get the fancy cave. So who am I to say?
Well, you know, you're increasing your odds.
That's true.
If you only have a couple of candidates, what if they're not the Mighty One, and then you're done. So,
and then what, you have to start all over again? Yeah. Ew.
So just get a whole bunch of them. Just pretty good. One of them is
throw things at the wall. See what sticks.
So the first trial that they're going to go through requires the candidates to cross what I would call like a great chasm. I don't know how you would refer to this big giant hole in the ground.
Oh yeah.
So they have to cross this great chasm because it is said that, quote, the Mighty One could walk in the very clouds themselves, unquote. I'm wondering, Morgan, if you're starting to piece together who the Mighty One could be. Let me know when you got it.
I have some thoughts. I have a preliminary guess.
Okay.
If we want to go there now, or if we want to wait, we want to hold off.
When it is revealed, let me know if that okay. If who you were thinking of. Okay. All right. So we'll see if the chat gets there too. So the Mighty One could walk in the very clouds themselves. And Zuma, our new friend Zuma, he gets there pretty easily. He jumps right over it. No problem. And
good job, Zuma.
Zuma nailed it on the first try. Some of the rodents, though, don't make it. There's a big group of them. Some of the rodents,
how about the one with the little hat?
Some of them get pushed off.
Goggles?
It does not go well for them. Tufton, our Tiger Man friend, he gets really close. Like, he almost gets there. You would think a tiger would jump pretty well.
No, Tufton.
He gets really close, but he breaks his ankle and he needs saving. So because he Commandy is one of Tufton's good pals, Commandy grabs one of the spears from one of the guards, the ape cult guards, and he uses it as kind of like a pole vault in some ways. And he's able to jump over this chasm. And when he gets to the other side, he uses the spear to help Tufton up. So Tufton, while injured, is still able to make it to the other side. Because
I was worried about Tufton.
Yeah. Commandy is really brave, though. He gets over there and he helps his fellow candidate out. And so also, while he's got the spear, he wants to help out everybody else out. So he sees this big kind of wooden pole and he uses it to sort of chop wood. And then he tears down this wooden pole and he puts it over the chasm, basically building a bridge for everybody else who can't come. So the remaining rodents and Ben are able to cross over. So I don't know if these are the rodents that you were cheering for.
I was just trying to see if Goggles made it. I don't think he did.
Goggles.
Goggles, was R.I.P., not... buddy. I'm going to pour one out.
So everybody gets through the first trial, and Commandy really showed that he cared about other people besides himself. Zuma, not so much. He just went over there for himself. Commandy basically helped everybody else out.
Classic Zuma.
A classic Zuma. Oh, my gosh. So the second trial seems easy enough. All they have to do is walk down a corridor and open up a door. The catch to this corridor is that there are guns at the end of this hallway firing straight at them. So you could go down the corridor, but you're going to get shot. And unfortunately, I think some of the other rodents that were surviving didn't make it because they thought it would be really easy and they just ran straight down and they got shot. So legend, there's also a legend associated with this trial. Legend has it that no weapon could penetrate the armor of the Mighty One. No element could pierce his hide. And Ben, who is one of our candidates and Commandy's friend, he sees this as an opportunity for him to help, saying, quote, "This looks like a job for a man of steel," unquote.
Ah, interesting phrasing.
he's able to transform. He touches his suit and he transforms into a literal man of steel. So Ben has steel-like qualities.
Huh. And, this reminds me of Legends of Tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, a little bit.
We had Nate, who was the steel dude on that show. I think he had a superhero name, but they used them so infrequently that I was mostly just, it's Nate, Steel Man. but it's I guess there's just kind of steel guys all over the place, just kind of doing it up.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same thing as Nate. So this is a situation where he transforms into steel and he explains to everyone else that he is actually an experiment. This is why he's not considering himself really a man or a human. He sees himself as an experiment. And I think it has to do with that secret organization that Commandy's grandfather might have been a part of, but I'd have to do some more digging. But he turns into steel and he walks confidently down the corridor, not getting shot. And this is actually great because he helps everybody else get down the corridor for the second trial because they come up behind him and they're shielded from the gunfire.
That is very convenient. Very glad they had Ben around.
Very
what a guy.
So Commandy saves the day the first time. Then this steel guy, Ben, he kind of helps out. But they're not quite out of the woods yet in this second trial, because when the guns go away, unfortunately, acid comes out of the ceiling. So, pick your poison, I guess, gunfire or acid. They're both bad. But acid starts coming out of the ceiling and burns Ben. So even though he is steel, acid can burn through him. So Commandy jumps. He figures out where the acid off switch, I guess, is. And so he goes over there. He gets burned himself.
Yikes.
But he's able to turn it off and they're able to get out of the second trial. So Commandy actually has he's been really shining in these trials so far, really helping everybody else out, even to his own peril. So the group has reached their third and final trial. This is really going to see who this Mighty One is, if the Mighty One presents himself among this group. The ape cult tells them that it is written that, quote, no creature could stand against the Mighty One, unquote. The Mighty One, quote, tamed monsters far greater than himself, unquote. So, of course, that means that the ape cult has to release a giant grasshopper. Because
sure, okay, no, I'm following. They have to release a giant grasshopper. What else would you do?
They want to see if any one of these candidates can control this monster and really tame this beast. So, what the caveat to this is that the apes can actually control this giant grasshopper. They have a shock collar around the grasshopper's neck. And so they have this like remote control thing that can up the levels to increase like agitation to the grasshopper to make it matter. So they can control this beast that they have unleashed.
That doesn't seem like a nice way to control that. Listen, I know giant grasshoppers are a little scary, and I know that they don't look like the rest of us. They're giant and they're grasshoppers, so many legs. But I don't feel like you should put a shock collar on them. I feel like that's mean.
I'm pretty sure this is a grasshopper, by the way. I'm pretty sure. So
I mean, he looks big and he's got like lots of legs. So I'm going to go ahead and
if he's not a grasshopper, somebody let me know. But I'm pretty sure he is. But yeah, so this is kind of abusive. It's like animal abuse.
This giant bug man does not deserve this.
So this is the final trial that they have to go through. But since Ben and Tufta are both injured, Tufta had that, you know, like a broken ankle kind of thing from his jump. And Ben has been covered in acid. So they're both injured. So they are hiding away while Commandy and Zuma try to face off against this giant beast. And Zuma initially tries to use Commandy as a distraction so that he can be the one who delivers the final blow and be the Mighty One. So he doesn't care if Commandy lives or dies. He just wants to use him as a distraction so classic, he can be here.
classic Zuma. Classic.
Yeah, Zuma is all about himself. So he really could not care. But when Zuma gets into trouble with this giant grasshopper, Commandy actually shows compassion for him and saves him during this last trial when he is about to get it from the grasshopper. So what Commandy does is, in order to defeat the beast, Commandy destroys that large shock collar on the grasshopper's neck. And this is actually a relief to the grasshopper because it is no longer being controlled. And it actually befriends Commandy. And they become good friends.
That's beautiful. See, I knew I was on the right side. I knew that grasshopper was just misunderstood with his many, many tongues. You know, like we're judging him based on the amount of arms and tongues and like his weird giant body. But inside, he's just a good guy.
Yeah, just a real puppy dog. So,
oh, it's so cute. Commandy's like, oh, you shouldn't have grasshopper. Please don't lick me with your 25 tongues.
So thanks to Commandy for being compassionate to this beast, all is good, and they have passed the third trial. Now, because
I'm pretty good on these trials, I gotta say.
I think Commandy did a really great job. He really showed some fortitude here. So because of his performance during all of these trials, and I'm hoping I have this one screenshot. I may not have it in here, and I'm upset with myself if I do not, because it really shows the cultish atmosphere of, I might not have it. But they go into this big building that has this rock-like statue, and it kind of looks like a superhero that we both know. It's like a rock-like structure of Superman. So the ape cult,
fascinating.
The ape cult brings all of them into this big area with this big rock like Superman statue, and they declare the Commandy is the Mighty One. They're like he passed all these trials, and we think he is the Mighty One. And so they instruct him to go and go forth and claim his prize. And so they lead Commandy to this ceremonial area. And there's like this storage trunk on the steps. It's the only way I can explain it. But the storage trunk has a Superman S shield on the design of it. So inside that storage trunk is Superman's suit. So so Commandy has been called the Mighty One, and they tell him to go and get this prize, which is revealed to be Superman's S-Shield. Now, Golgan, the Keeper of the Ancient Days, the head of this ape cult, tells Commandy that he demonstrated the true qualities of the Mighty One: wisdom, sacrifice, and mercy for your enemy. And the apes want Commandy to put on the suit and take the mantle of the Mighty One. But Commandy actually refuses. He's like, I can't do this. I am not the Mighty One. But now he knows without a doubt that he's real. And a Commandy, because of this, he vows that he will never rest until he finds Superman. So he knows who the Mighty One is. Commandy figures it out that Superman is the Mighty One. And so he ends the short on an adventure to go find the Mighty One. So, Morgan, I'm curious, did you think the Mighty One was going to be Superman?
Yes. Yeah. Like pretty earlier when they were describing the Mighty One, like even before they got to the trials, I was like, oh, that's Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely Superman. And then once they got to the trial and like the first trial was like flying, I was like, yeah, no, that's Superman for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so it is interesting. Commandy knew who Superman was. So I don't know how that is. But he does end up taking the Superman suit with him. He climbs on top of his new grasshopper friend, who he names Click Clack, because that's
Click Clack is a great name.
Because that's the sound that the grasshopper
makes.
The
Daily Planet.
Yeah. So in this world that has had this great disaster, the Daily Planet once existed. So Clark Kent and Superman, and probably Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen and all that crew, they probably existed at some point. But he and Click Clack ride off to go find the Mighty One at some point in the future. Hopefully they will find him. And the end of the short, it ends with Golgan, the Keeper of the Ancient Days, who informs the audience that there is a prophecy about Commandy. There was actually something written about Commandy. Now, I don't know how they know this, because they also thought that Commandy was the Mighty One who like fulfilled this other prophecies. I don't know if they're like really good with like prophecies. They don't seem to know much, but they do say that there was something written about Commandy. And they say his greatest challenge is yet to come. And should he fail, it will mean the end of everything. So I am assuming that these are some crisis references. Commandy thinks that the Mighty One can make the Earth whole again. The Earth whole again, like Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Interesting.
And that if Commandy should fail, it would mean the end of everything.
I feel like the problem here is that now when we see Crisis Part 2, I'm going to be waiting for the moment when Commandy rushes in riding Click Clack, the giant, and he sees Superman. He's like, gotcha. and when or if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be crushingly disappointed.
If Click Clack does not make another appearance,
Clack.
I'm going to be a little disappointed. Because I think that should be a recurring character. Now, I think we did see Commandy in Justice Society World War II, because there was a young boy who gave Superman his suit, Shakespeare. So I think that was supposed to be Commandy, but I'm not totally sure. So I don't know how these stories connect. Did he somehow... I don't know. I'm trying to think of the timey-wiminess of that, because Justice Society World War II was on another Earth.
It was. Maybe Click Clack like Click Clacked his way.
Click Clack time travel.
Maybe he's really fast. I'm not saying he's faster than the Flash, but we don't know that he's not.
Yeah,
who knows? Click Clack could do anything. We don't know.
So, yeah, I'm not really sure about the timing and the location of this. All we do know is this is happening in New York City. That's kind of all we can know. I thought it was actually a pretty good short. I got to know the characters pretty well. The story was pretty straightforward. It wasn't, you know, there was nothing confusing about the story itself and what they were trying to achieve. Some good little mysteries in there about the Mighty One. So I thought it was actually for a short, for like a 15 minute short. I thought it was pretty solid in trying to establish those characters. So not sure how much of it connects, but it does seem to have a ominous ending about the end of everything. So we'll see if that maybe comes into play for the future. I think I might, before we get into some of the comic book things,
comic book Commandy lore.
Yes. We'll get into what I'm the inspiration
for. I didn't get to watch this one, or that they've made this one in particular so hard to find, because it sounds good. Like, it sounds like something I would have really enjoyed. There are rat guys with goggles. There's a Trials 3. There's a cult. We all know I like that. There's a giant grasshopper who he names Click Clack. Like, all of these things, like, I'm just like checking boxes of like things that I enjoy, and that's the one that they make hard. Not the weird Adam Strange one where I was like, what am I watching? No, this one I don't understand.
They could have squeezed this in with like a what is on Max right now that they could have like shoved in the middle of.
Yeah.
They could have put it inside.
Like an interlude in the middle of like anything, really.
Of like Aquaman 2, and then you're introduced to.
In the middle of Aquaman 2, like how they used to have in like the old drive-in movies, like the little commercials about going to the concession stand. But this is just like 15 minutes of Commandy, and then you're back to Jason Momoa. I feel like why wouldn't they do that?
I feel like it would fit. Mark in the chat also says, I'm cranky that WB decided to take some of these films off of Max just as Crisis is winding up. Yeah, some of them are not on Max and maybe have never been on Max, like Commandy, but then some of them have actually are just not there. So it is strange. If it had been my choice, I would have put all of the Tomorrowverse stuff on Max so that people could watch it ramping up to Crisis, so people would be interested in Crisis.
Yeah.
But that is not what they decided to do.
A strange choice.
Let's see if there are any other comments about Commandy as we were going through it. Mind the Gap, we'll get to the, let's see. Oh, actually, there were a couple of comments from Mind the Gap that I wanted to get to. Mind the Gap says, Commandy was originally set on his own Earth. Eventually, they made other Jack Kirby comics set on the same Earth. Yeah, so we'll talk about the various titles that Commandy was featured in. Mark also says that read an old strip of Snoopy fighting the Red Baron and got inspired. So the goggles, Red Baron, Snoopy, like, so yeah. I think it connects. Let's see. There was something else. Oh, yeah. Mind the Gap says Commandy was created because Jack Kirby wanted to make Planet of the Apes Apes comic at first, but he couldn't, so he made Commandy instead. So, yeah, we will get to some of that, because I tried to do a little research on the background of Commandy, because I thought it was kind of a, you know, it's a little bit different genre than just a regular superhero comic from DC Comics. So I was like, what? How did why did they do this?
Different, yeah.
So I just did a little, you know, basic Wikipedia searching. So Morgan, if you'll take us through some of that, and we'll learn some of the backstory of Commandy.
So as far as Commandy in the comics, he was created by Jack Kirby, and his first appearance was in Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth, number 1, from October 1972. According to Wikipedia, the bulk of Commandy's appearances occurred in the comic series Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth, which ran from 1972 to 1978. So actually, like, a pretty short in terms of comic book series, I'd have to say. Because sometimes they go on for, obviously, years and years and years.
Is there a Commandy trade paperback? Could I get like a do they have? I wonder if they have like trades.
Ooh, I don't know. Because like 72 to 78, that feels like something that you could collect in like one or two trades.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up. Be interesting. Ooh,
what if we become Commandy super fans? Is Click Clack a major character?
I hope so. He's a character from the comics.
I have to hope. I have to hope in my heart of hearts that that's true. So in the comic series, Commandy is a young hero living in a post-apocalyptic future. Following an event known as the Great Disaster, humans have backslid to savagery in a world ruled by intelligent, highly evolved animals. The 1975 to 1977 Hercules Unbound series and the OMAC backups stories in Commandy and the Warlord tie OMAC to both the storyline of Hercules Unbound and to the Atomic Knights, indicating that the Great Disaster was the Atomic War of 1986 that precipitated the events of the latter. Superman number 295, which was in January 1976, implied that the Great Disaster was a natural occurrence.
So it's kind of conflicting on what the Great Disaster actually was. Hmm. I personally like the Atomic War. I think that's a much more interesting story, and it makes sense as to why the mountains fell and the seas boiled. So I think a natural occurrence to me feels boring.
From a narrative perspective, it being like man's folly, I feel like makes it a little bit more compelling than like one day a meteor, I guess. The end. Now giant grasshopper. Like I feel like Atomic also gives you like kind of like leeway to be like, and now the apes are people and they're in a cult. It all happened because of radiation. Yeah. Just go with it.
Isn't that how like Godzilla exists or something?
Yeah, like exactly, just, like
radiation or something.
Oh yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah, that's how Godzilla. That's how Godzilla came about. So like, if I can buy into Godzilla, and I do, he's real. I can absolutely buy that the apes all decided to like wander around. They start talking to each other, and they were like, "Do you believe in the Great One? I do too." And then they started a cult, and then they kidnap people occasionally. Like I can go on the whole journey, right? Like I feel like it's more interesting than like one day a natural disaster occurred, and now there are rat people with goggles. Like it feels too quick for that to have happened already in the lifetime of like the last boy on Earth. Right? Like it doesn't feel like that could have happened that quickly.
Yeah, they had like a bomb shelter that Commandy was living in, and Ben seems like he might have been some sort of nuclear experiment. So that makes a lot more sense to me. Mind the Gap actually says that Grant Morrison hinted that Darkseid was the Great Disaster in Final Crisis.
Whoa.
I also don't like that either. Even though I love Darkseid as a villain, I still think Atomic
Me too. I still prefer it being like humanity's fault, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. We did this to ourselves.
We only have ourselves to blame.
I mean, Darkseid could just do something maybe like this, but I like the idea that we screwed something up. Well, in watching this Commandy animated short, it did remind me a lot of the Planet of the Apes, and I'll kind of just show a little screenshot from the end credits, which I thoroughly enjoy these Tomorrowverse animation shorts and movies because they have really creative end credit either animations or just visuals. And so at the end of the movie, when the credits roll, it does show this destroyed New York City that's kind of been flooded. New York, the Statue of Liberty is sort of tilted over and covered in water. And so I think this really gives that Planet of the Apes inspirational vibe to it. And so it really, like when I started watching it, I was like, oh, this feels like Planet of the Apes. And there is a reason for that. As Mind the Gap mentioned earlier, DC editor Carmine Infantino had tried to acquire the license to publish Planet of the Apes comic books. When this failed to happen, rival Marvel Comics acquired the rights. So they couldn't do it because Marvel got them first. Infantino asked Jack Kirby to create a series with a similar concept. So I guess they weren't too worried about just copying somebody else's story. They were like, we can do Planet of the Apes, but what if we could do something Planet of the Apes-esque?
But what if it was a boy, he's the last one on Earth, and then there were just a lot of apes, like not on their own planet, but like on our planet, but like it's their planet at this point. That's different enough, right? I love when you hear some of the origin stories of these old comic book characters. And it's just like, we saw this movie. We're going to do exactly that. Can we do that? Like, copyright wise? And everyone's like, who can know?
It's like, they even did that between the two comic book companies where it'd be like, yes, DC has a character named Slade Wilson, who is a mercenary. So what if we over at Marvel Comics had a character, what is his name? Wade Wilson, who is also a mercenary.
That's right. That's right. Deadpool is Wade Wilson. There's also like, I think
Deathstroke and Deadpool. Very, very different. Very different.
And Deadpool. And then there was also, I think both companies have a Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
there's like Marvel has Captain Marvel, which was a male character and is now Carol Danvers.
Right,
and then DC has Captain Marvel, who's the Shazam character.
Shazam! Yeah,
I think that's why they call him Shazam, is because it was kind of confusing that the other company's called Marvel and he's Captain Marvel. And I think I would assume everyone just assumed he was a Marvel character. And they were like, fine, his name is just Shazam now. You just call him Shazam.
Captain Marvel was really popular back in the day. And I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before, but Michael Bailey from the Superman homepage and the Fortress of Bailey 2 podcast and all that stuff, he blew my mind one time when he connected the dots between Captain Marvel Jr. and Elvis Presley wearing capes in the 70s. Elvis Presley was a huge Captain Marvel fan.
Oh.
And so when he was in the 1970s, when he was kind of at the end of his life and end of his career, he was like, I want to wear a cape like Captain Marvel. So mind blown. I was just like, wow, that all connect.
Yeah, at one point, wasn't Captain Marvel like a super, super popular character? Like
more popular than Superman.
I was going to say more popular. Wasn't it? Yeah, I think in one of our previous episodes, so either somebody mentioned that or something I read said that he was more at one point more popular than Superman, which blows my mind personally. But it is funny to think back and be like, yeah, a lot of these characters were a lot more popular than they would become. Like they kind of wax and wane in terms of popularity. But it is funny that between like DC and Marvel, they would just kind of steal each other's ideas. And then they would also look out at like the pop culture landscape and be like, that ape movie was sick. Let's do that.
People really liked that ape movie.
You know
we
what
need
people
a version
love?
Of that.
Apes. we got to get ourselves some apes.
So Carmine Infantino had asked Jack Kirby to create a series with a similar concept. But the problem was Jack Kirby had not seen the films, but he knew the rough outline of what they were trying to go for. And so he created a similar story called The Last Enemy in Harvey Comics's Alarming Tales. And in The Last Enemy, a present day man finds himself in the post-human future, at which time animals, most prominently dogs and cats, can now walk bipedally and have founded their own civilization. The story preceded the original Pierre Boulez Planet of the Apes novel. Kirby had also had an unused comic strip he created in 1956 titled Commandy of the Caves. So Kirby basically brought these two different elements that he had sort of taken, one from something he had previously done and something from this other thing, and he merged them together to create Commandy. And this animated DC showcase seems to be based on that Jack Kirby run on the character, because during Kirby's run on the book, Stephen Sherman indicated in the letters columns, you know, back in the day when they would have fans write into the people writing the stories, and the writers would like write them back and be like, well, actually, Stephanie, it's not like that at all. You know, they would have those letters in the comics that I love to read. So they indicated in the letters column that the series was connected to Kirby's then current OMAC series, which was set in the future, but prior to the great disaster. So a lot of timeline stuff there.
Oh boy.
the only obvious connection to the DC universe occurs in issue number 29, in which Commandy discovers a group of apes who worship Superman's costume, as we saw in this Commandy short, and who speak of legends of him trying and failing to stop the great disaster. Also mentioned in the short, Kirby's story also leaves it ambiguous as to whether the legends are literally true and the costume did belong to him. But Commandy believes Superman was reels. So I think a lot of this short was actually from Jack Kirby's run on the story.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I like the idea that they took what Jack Kirby had done and just kind of translated it to an animated short. So really honoring Jack Kirby and his contribution to this series. That was pretty neat.
That's really neat. I hadn't heard of Commandy before this. Obviously, down below it says, who is Commandy? That's my question for this one. So the last short that we had, the Adam Strange short that we watched, I think one of the questions out of it was like, how interested are you in Adam Strange after this? And I was like, not very. I'm fine. Like I know some things now. It's less than I would think, having watched like a 15-minute short, but I'm chill. I feel differently, and I didn't watch the short even. I feel like I would read Commandy stuff. I would watch Commandy stuff. I love his vibe. I love his tiger friend. I love the post-apocalyptic world where everybody's an animal. It's just him, and you know, the only other human is just a metal dude. I like the vibes here. I like the post-apocalyptic vibes. So yeah, I came out of this one more interested in learning more about his world, which I think if you're creating a short around a character who's not super well known, I think that's the goal, is to have people go, wow, like that character's so cool. Like I want to know more about him. I'm Wikipediaing him as soon as like the short is over.
That's what I did.
Which is like what I would have done as well.
Yeah, I actually came away with this like initially because I didn't know about Commandy before watching this short. And when I initially was like, okay, I'm going to put this on and watch this, I wasn't like real excited about it just because I didn't really know what to expect. But once I got into it, I got kind of immersed in the world. So yeah, I would read some Commandy comics for sure. So this DC showcase did a really nice job encouraging me to watch it and being excited to share it with everybody. So very good. Mark in the chat, we'll kind of end with the chat here and then go into snap judgments. But Mark says, Commandy even got a mention in the Arrowverse. When young Nora West Allen was visiting Tom Cavanaugh's Thawne, he said, quote, I've chartered this timeline from Anthro to the Anthro, the first boy, to Commandy the last, unquote. Wow. Thank you, Mark. That's very interesting.
That's so cool.
So yeah, that must have happened in the later seasons of The Flash, because I think I gave up on The Flash around season 4. So
yeah, I definitely no never made concept. It to that point in The Flash, but that is really cool that they name dropped him. And that's one of the things I liked about the CW series when they were going on, is that you would occasionally get like a name drop of a character, and I would know that like it would mean something to somebody, even though it like didn't mean a lot to me. And then I could like look up who that was and be like, oh, neat. I didn't know about this
deep
person.
Cut.
Yeah. Every now and then they would just throw in like a deep, like a comic book deep cut. And it would be really neat because it wasn't detracting from people who like didn't know who Commandy was. But for people who did, what a cool shout out.
They'd be like, oh my God, it's Commandy.
Commandy. Click clack.
Now, Supergirl towards the end of the show did not do that.
No, they'd given that up. They'd given that up by the end.
There but was, other
early,
shows did.
Early days Superman, Supergirl occasionally did it.
Yeah.
And then by the end, it was just like, take this little rose soap and do something with it. Eat that hope totem right into the the end of Supergirl, listen, they had a lot going on. They didn't have time for that. They didn't have time for a lot. It's one of the things, you know, sometimes we make fun of the Arrowverse, but it is one of the things I liked about the Arrowverse, is that they would throw stuff like that in there. And then I would end up down a Wikipedia rabbit hole trying to figure out what the reference was to.
There were some writers in the Arrowverse who I think were really passionate about writing for DC Comics and would put those things in there. So that's really cool that Commandy got a mention in the Arrowverse. Very, very cool. Well, I only have one snap judgment, so let's make it.
In the game of snap judgments, each person is presented with two options, but must only choose one. First instincts are recommended and explanations are unnecessary.
this very important snap judgment is, which character would you like to see more of? Tufton or Click Clack?
So Tufton, just to remind everybody.
Gorgeous.
Tiger Man. Very noble.
He's got like that like sweatband on like from the 80s. Like he's going to drop his own workout tape. Jane Fonda, like he's got that sweatband on.
He is ready for whatever you throw his way. And then we have Click Clack, the giant grasshopper, we think, beast. who becomes Commandy's good friend, loyal friend.
Just besties. Besties now.
Yes. So, Morgan, what are you picking?
I mean, I think we all know it's going to be Click Clack. I feel like I've really telegraphed that throughout this whole episode. Wouldn't it have been a surprise if I was like, actually Tufton? I just love that sweatband.
See, I thought you were going to go Tufton because he's cat-like.
Listen, I do love a good cat. I think that even in any, like in any situation, I'm going to go with the more pet-like one. And like Tufton is like, just like a bro. Like Tufton's like his guy, right? Like he and Tufton, they're besties. They're just hanging out. They're just kicking back. Click Clack is like his pet. Click Clack is like his little buddy. So I always got to go with like a little buddy.
So the advantage to Click Clack is that Click Clack, you can ride him.
You can ride Click
Clack. He's a transportable pet.
He's absolutely massive.
Yes.
That's also a big help.
The only downside, and I wish this is why I wish you had been able to watch the short just to see this visual. I can't really do it justice in a screenshot or describing it to you, but grasshoppers hop. They're like jumping. So it's kind of an awkward thing to see the grasshopper and Commandy like jumping as they go. So it would probably be, I don't know, this is tough. Because I think Click Clack has a lot of purposes. Loyal love from your pet Click Clack, but also a transport.
Yeah.
But also that would be a very bumpy ride. I think maybe you could find a different
bouncing along.
So you know what? I might say Tufton. I want to know what his deal is. Where does he come from? What is his race of tiger men or tiger people like? I want to know how they got to be where they are.
Yeah, I do want to know like the backstory, like Tufton's backstory. He does seem like a cool guy. Like, what's the Tiger Man society like? Or do they have their own fun little cults? Like, I want to know all of these things as well.
Well, they did say in the short that there were a lot of cults that popped up. So I wondered if they were all cults regarding the Mighty One, just
different kinds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess if we ever had our way, I think we would make a Commandy series about Tufton and Click Clack. What if they teamed up? I think.
Oh, my God.
Just take Commandy out of it. Totally.
Click Clack's big day.
I think if we ever got the keys to DC Comics, I think listen, we should write a Tufton Click Clack.
Things would get wild if that happened.
We could have Tufton writing Click Clack trying to find Commandy. Maybe something has happened to Commandy and they have to team up to find him.
They have to save their boy, Commandy. Yeah.
I like it.
I would watch whatever that was. I'd read it. I'm a big fan.
No judgments on your snap judgments.
Mark says in the chat that he wants Click Clack to form a band with Topo, who is Aquaman's octopus, I think.
Yes.
Is Topo the octopus or the seahorse? Ooh,
I am going to look that up.
It might be the seahorse, Aquaman. Actually. I forget what sea creature Topo
is. He looks big. I think he is an octopus.
Is Topo the octopus?
Topo. Okay.
I feel like the seahorse also has a name.
I like how that like this Wikipedia is going out of the way not to like name what he is. Is a fictional character that has appeared in American comic books. Notable as a loyal sidekick to Aquaman. Okay, what kind of sidekick? Okay, he is an intelligent octopus.
Yes,
Mark, usually seen Mark babysitting Mark. Aqua Baby. So good to know. He's also a babysitter. He can do it all.
Topo, an octopus of many many hats or
many talents, plates,
many talents. Yes. So that is good to know. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Supergirl Radio. But if you would like to contact us, you can post a comment on our website at supergirlradio.com. You can email us at supergirlradio@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on X and Instagram, all at Supergirl Radio. If you like what we do, we encourage you to give us a rating and write us a review on Apple Podcasts. And Supergirl Radio is part of DC TV Podcasts and the Multiverse of Color Networks. If you would like to hang out with us live and wired, you can do that on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the DC TV Podcast YouTube channel and the Supergirl Radio Facebook page, if you prefer to watch it from Facebook. And we also have a TeePublic store. So if you are also in need of DC or DC TV related t-shirts, tank tops, sweatshirts, onesies, mugs, notebooks, pillows, or stickers, you can go to supergirlradio.com and click on the TeePublic store link at the top of the page.
And where is my place in the document? And since Superman was revealed to be the Mighty One in Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth, we have Superman designs in the DC TV Podcast TeePublic store that we would like to suggest.
So yeah, if you need some new Superman stuff, we've got some stuff in there, some mugs and t-shirts and hoodies if it's still cold wherever you are. I do take issue with Superman being the Mighty One. Why did it have to be Superman be the Mighty One? Why couldn't Supergirl be the Mighty One?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she's very mighty. what if randomly it was Supergirl that was the Mighty One? I was like, it's connecting to the podcast.
Now, Supergirl is sometimes called the Maid of Might.
There we go.
I think it could be Supergirl. That's all I'm saying. We would also like to thank our Legion of Super sponsors for supporting the Supergirl Radio Patreon. These people are Michael, Anne Marie, Yvonne, Nicola, Abby, Miriam, Nicole, Brian, Ethan, Danny, Majuba, Zachary, Annie, and Rachel. I think I have all of them. If you'd like to become a Legion of Super sponsor, please visit patreon.com/supergirlradio. And if you'd like to follow me on the social medias and on the internet, you can find me on Instagram at the Derby Kid, where I post the occasional picture over there. I don't want this to sound like a brag, but I recently won an award for photography.
Yeah, you did. So, by the way,
I was very shocked. I was like, I didn't know if it was that good, but it was good enough. So if you want to see that award winning photo, you can do that over on Instagram at the Derby Kid. I also am on the social media platform Vero at Derby Kid. So there's no the on there. I probably should have made those similar, but I didn't. So you just have to know which one has the T-H-E and which one does not. I also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/duckmilkprod, where you can go subscribe and watch any of the video content that I have over there. I just recently posted a commentary, just like a quick, like 5.5 minute film analysis of sorts about Barbie. So if you're interested in that, I try to be very objective and give Barbie the props where I thought it did well, but then also just sharing my thoughts about something I thought was not written well. So if you're interested in that, you can watch that. But if you don't want to watch it, you don't have to. That's the good thing about that is that you can choose to watch it or not. But if you're interested in that, you can check it out over there. I'm also currently working on some interviews with some other fans that I'm very excited about. So hopefully get those up maybe within the next month or so. So that should be good. So I'm hoping to ramp up YouTube content for my personal YouTube channel.
Neat. Busy. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mojotastic. And you can also find me as a co-host on the Legendary Ladies podcast, where this week we talked about the Netflix movie Damsel, starring Millie Bobby Brown. We felt feelings about it. We were like, wow, that's a movie. But if you have seen the movie and you want to hear some people talk about it, Kat and I tackled that. And And next week, we have a special pilot pod about Winona Earp. That's really fun because Kat and I have seen the pilot, but a very long time ago, and Amy had never seen the pilot. Mm. So we got like a fresh perspective on it. And we decided to cover that pilot because Winona Earp is coming out with like a movie. I was going to say a TV movie, but it's actually like a movie on Tubi. The free streaming platform. I always go back and forth between calling it Tubi and Tubby. But
I like Tubby.
I like Tubby better too. And I know it's wrong. But I'm like, yeah, you know, that's on Tubby. Everyone's like, that's not right. I'm like, it is to me.
I actually enjoyed Damsel, but I was very stressed out the whole time.
It is kind of a stressful movie. It was
very stressful.
Yeah, I think we weren't big fans, mostly because we just kind of got a little bit bored in the middle there, where it was like, okay, what's going on here? But I will say that, like, it as far as like an action movie, it had like a lot of, you know, she had to really survive down there.
Yeah.
With that dragon, with his like weird lava. I had a lot of questions about the lava breath. Once again, I like went down a rabbit hole of things that like don't matter. When we were watching the Damsel, I was like, wait, why is it lava? Like, why isn't just regular fire? It doesn't matter, but it mattered to me.
I was actually wondering if you had seen it, because I know you like dragons, and I thought
I do. I'm a big dragon fan.
Yeah. Enjoyed it, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but sometimes I've been recently disappointed with movies where the bad guy doesn't get theirs in the end. And
yes,
I felt like this one satisfied that for me.
I will say I did like the ending. I did like where they went with it at the end. I won't spoil it either, although you should know we just talk about the full movie on the Legendary Ladies podcast. So if you haven't watched it yet and you're planning on watching it, probably
you
watch
will get
it first.
Spoiled. Yeah.
Probably watch it first and then listen to the podcast. But yeah, I liked the way it ended. I thought that they did a fun job with that.
Yeah, so I like Millie Bobby Brown. I think
she's great. I really do like her a lot. I think I still need to see the second of the Enola Holmes movies, but I
you
love
see the second one.
I know. This I love the so first good. One. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I really liked the first one a lot, and then the second one came out, and I was like, yeah, I gotta watch it, and then I forgot. But this reminded me as we were talking about Damsel, where I was like, this one wasn't my favorite. I was like, but you know what I did really like? Those Enola Holmes movies.
You should
now I have to go back and watch number two.
Now I want to go back and rewatch Enola Holmes too, because I enjoyed it so much. I'll have to rewatch it. She was actually, before Millie Alcock was cast, she was, if somebody had asked me to fan cast Supergirl,
oh,
I would have said Millie Bobby Brown.
She would have been great, actually.
She would have been great.
Missed opportunity.
They don't care what I think.
They're not taking our calls, clearly.
That's who I would have guessed. I thought I think she's a really good actress. So highly recommend it. Also, Larry Fong, just shout out. He was the cinematographer on Damsel. So I always try to watch what he does, because I'm a big fan of his. Anyway. I'm sorry you didn't like Damsel, but it did have
a
good ending.
It had a good ending. There was a dragon. It was pretty. So like in those ways, it was pretty good.
And it had Millie Bobby Brown in it.
And Millie Bobby Brown, my girl, Millie Bobby Brown. 11.
So there are some good points to it, I think. All right. Well, anyway, so we're really drastically off topic now.
Yeah, of course, as always.
So, actually, not off topic. You mentioned Damsel.
That's
as part
true.
Of the Legendary Ladies, so we're kind of on topic.
We're still around. It's fine.
We haven't moseyed off the track too much. But I guess that's going to do it for this episode of Supergirl Radio. But until next time, I'm still Rebecca Johnson.
And I'm still Morgan Glennon. And for the sake of humanity, we hope that Commandy survives.
McGurk! I love
not
typing.
Not mess with my Google Docs, Meeksy.
Supergirl Radio is going live every night of the week. How do you like it? Is becoming a human burrito a plus or a minus? I don't know. It does seem snug.
I mean, they say you are what you eat.
Kira.
I love that.
So I do a podcast called Supergirl Radio, and one of our segments is Lena Luthor, boardroom or ballroom.
Because really?
She looks like a boss in this film.
Nasty Luther, like a different Luther? It's not just Lena being mean?
No.
Helen Slater here. So fun to know that you're hosting a podcast called Supergirl Radio.